Blog Talk Radio.
Boy, I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah.
Welcome. That 1212. I thought I used to hear that in my sleep. Now I'm glad to hear it. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How's the people's holding up?
We holding up the fort. Can you hear me good?
You sound good. Brother right. Darius, welcome. We missed you.
Good day. Yeah, good evening.
If you can hear the sound of my voice, God has brought you into another day. So we are here after, I know, a long vacation, much needed vacation. And while we've been out working on some things, the world is in turmoil. Is the best the best word I can come up with without using profanity. It has gotten worse since the last time we had a show. So tonight we're talking
before
about.
Before you get started, don't forget to introduce. Since the world is in hell, we invited the good pastor Dante Townsend in with us.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. We are about to talk about some updates, HubNet news for the radio network, and we got some special guests that we felt like we needed to have. I think it's a privilege to have this young man on the network, period. But then for him to grace my show, just to offer some blessings, some alternative thinking. I don't know what he can bring, but whatever he brings, I am grateful. Pastor D. Townsend from out of Detroit. How are you, good sir?
Hello. Well, hello. It is me, Pastor D. I am blessed to be in the house just one more time. Thank you. Brother Akim, Sister Michelle, Brother Darius, God bless you. I am here to offer whatever kind of insight that I can, whether it be spiritual and or sometimes it has to be a little secular, amen, but I'm with you.
Amen. Amen.
Whatever we got to talk about, let's do it.
Okay. Well, the first thing is this virus that we got going on. And I can honestly say, I can go on record by saying that I am fearful. I am just, like, out of my mind, just like, oh, my God, this is just getting worse. And the only thing I have that helps me through it is my faith in God. And, you know, I don't know when he says, when he allows for us to come through this, I don't think that things are going to be the same as they were before. I just don't. Things are going to be different. And listening to some of these scientists and medical professionals, this is where I'm getting this from, because, you know, they're going back and researching. You can talk about the origination of the virus all you want to, but they were saying that it was showing up here through the holidays, through Thanksgiving and Christmas of 2019. You know, so we got this. The other thing that I find is, like, impossible, and there's a lot of chit chat about it, and I don't see how it's happening. I've had quite a few friends that's sick. I got one that yesterday that's in the hospital fighting for his life. My coworker's out sick. I don't know how we're gonna contact trace something like this. That sounds good on TV and it looks good on paper, but how do you contact trace with people who's not even willing to be compliant with wearing a mask and washing their hands? So anyway, the side effects of this medication that they're talking about, to include, if you come through it, God willing, you may have all kinds of health problems. So how is that going back to being normal after, you know, when we get through this virus? I'm not trying to be negative or anything like that, but I don't see how things are going to go back to being normal. And in regards to down south here in Texas and Florida and stuff like that, when we were watching the East Coast, New York, go through what they went through, it hadn't reached us yet. Our numbers was not that high until after the fact. So I don't know, these images of these kids having parties, and how are we going to, I don't see how we're going to come through this. The only thing I can do is pray and lean on my faith. So that's the hot topic right now for me, is this virus. I think we left off at our last show talking about the virus, and that's when in the beginning stages. We didn't know much about what was going on. And it has taken a whole nother life of itself since then. My friend that passed away, as you know, Pastor Townsend, was there in Detroit. And, you know, that was when the first time it had came that close to me in regard to somebody I know. And that was hard. That was a hard pill to swallow. That dude was like 41 years old. So,
wow.
Yeah, Mark Moore. Rest in peace. Rest in peace to his family.
Peace,
you know,
Moore.
I reached out to them. You know, he blood clots got up in his lungs, and that was a wrap. He was fighting, though, and that was it. Once some blood clots traveled from his lungs to his heart, that was it. And a lot of black people have passed away because of the blood clots, you know, didn't make it because of the blood clots. So down here, what I found in Texas, what they're doing at one of the major hospitals, two of the major hospitals, which is University Hospital, with the state of Texas, and then we got Methodist Hospital. They're taking the blood, and they're oxidizing it, taking it out of the body, and running it through some machine that oxidizes it and shoot it back. That's another option besides the ventilator. And when they interviewed the doctor, he said that it's better than using the ventilators because the ventilators causes people to get blood clots. And then that's when I went back in my mind, like, you know what? That's exactly what happened with Mark, you know. So anyway, the irony of this all is, unlike anything else that we've dealt with, we've always been able to go to the doctor, get a prescription, or go get seen, or get, you know, whatever, the flu, you get some Tamiflu, and so on and so forth. They don't know what to do for you. My friend that's fighting, that has it right now, they said he went and they said he wasn't sick enough. And he said he went back home to tell him he needed to be quarantined. So within 48 hours, he just got worse. So now he's back at the hospital. So the doctors, and this is my understanding based on my research, is having to make a call in regards to who to treat and who not to treat.
Oof.
That's crazy. You're not sick enough, so we're not going to treat you, but we're going to treat you because you're sick enough, and so on and so forth, making a decision who lives and who dies.
Well,
yeah. Yeah.
What do you have?
Go ahead, Darius.
The problem is there's a lack of leadership. I can't say what I really want to say about number 45, but if you had any other president would have leadership and tell the country what to do and how to get through this. And right now you don't have no leaderships in these Republican governors. They take all their advice from Trump and then applying to the people in the state, but they rather trust these Dr. Fauci and them because they know more. Now, Governor Abbott down there in Texas, when it's all said and done, him and the governor of Florida, these Republican governors, I think they're in serious trouble for reelection bids in the future. They should have done the common sense thinking of maybe shutting it down longer, then reopening slow phases, but they want to listen to Trump. And I'm just going to leave it at that. And my church just reopened just last Sunday, so.
Y'all actually up in the church? Like, up in church?
Yeah, my church just opened last Sunday. I went, and what they did, they taped the pews, like every two pews, and had, like, tape 6 feet apart, like every third pew for somebody to sit down and separate them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I probably need to take a picture of it, and I can send it to y'all next week. But that's what we did, and everybody in the sanctuary wore their mask and had good worship service. Our Sunday school was moved from our conference room to the fellowship hall where everybody had their own table and had a lesson.
Well, that's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Is that how things are going down in your church, Dante? Are y'all back in the brick and mortar?
No, ma'am. We are still out. I have a very seasoned church, and with the numbers rising here in Detroit and Michigan, we decided to wait an extra month. Simply, you know, I have to be very cautious and concerned about the members and their welfare, and those who may attend my church. I have people who are looking to come and visit once we open back up the building,
right,
but
right.
I still have to be very cautious because if one person in there gets it, we all get it, and I can't afford that to happen. So
right,
we have
right.
been just, you know, with the blessings of God, been doing it, you know, through the radio show here, and
mm-hmm.
you know, for next month or so, if we're going to go back and reevaluate. I try to go off of what the governor is saying. Our governor here just shut back down. She shut down the bars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because it's back on the rise.
Yeah.
And just going back to what you were saying as far as the norm, there will never be a norm again, you know, at least for another 50 years. We just got back out the norm from the last pandemic that we had. If you really think about it, no matter how technologically advanced we are as a civilization, we just got pushed back to the 1820s, you know, simply because we had something to sneak up on us. And truthfully, you know, leadership has something to do with it, but not really. You know, this particular virus snuck up on us. Now, could they have did some other things differently? Possibly. Will we still would have had fatalities? Yes. You know, and that's not taking up for him. That's not anything like that. But what I'm saying is, we still would have lost people. And look at China. China, you know, and the places that were affected by this, they still lost people. I mean, and they were trying their best to be on top of everything. They even warned us about it, correct? And look what happened. They lost a lot of people. We lost a lot of people. It's just something that we can't explain. It came out of nowhere, whether it was a mistake, a mishap, or maybe it was done accidentally on purpose. We don't know. But what we do know is that this has now placed us in a situation where the norm will never be the norm again.
I think that what Darius was saying is that our leadership didn't help the situation. Like, you know, in the you know, once when we first got notified that this was going on, you had this president running around here talking about it was a hoax. He was dragging his feet
mm-hmm.
in regards to getting the supplies at the nurses and stuff. So a lot of people died in the process. By the time he came around, we were off and running. This virus was already off and running. So I kind of tend to agree with Darius on that part. But then mm-hmm. on the flip side of that, I'm looking at who's the president. This is nothing new. This dude here has been this way. He is exactly who he was before he became the president.
He's a CEO thinks like that. A CEO, if you walk up to a CEO and says, did you see that pink elephant on the ceiling? They're going to say, yeah, pink elephant on the ceiling. Yeah, make the money. He's a CEO. He's not a politician. So this is what he does. His only focus is to make sure that America makes the money. That's all he thinks about. So in this type of situation mm-hmm. like this, when you come across this, all he's going to say is, oh, yeah, it's a hoax. Just keep on. Everybody's going to be fine. Now, is that the way that a president is supposed to be? Absolutely not. You're supposed to be sympathetic to all people. But, again, this is what happened when we allowed him to get into office. So, again, I see this virus and this situation as two different sides. Maybe God is getting our attention, saying that we're going too far off into the deep. I need to wake y'all up.
Yeah, yeah. That Pastor Townsend, in our Sunday school, we talked about the virus, and one of our members said maybe God was talking about shutting it down and getting a nation's attention.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, and the thing about it is, you know, God can do all things. He can do anything that he want to do. And again, if that's what he decides to do, you know, that's what he does. God is trying to get everybody's attention. But look what happened in the midst of all of this. Even more hate and more racial tension came out of it. Just came right out of it. So, you know, if we haven't learned nothing out of this, you know, we might as well just go and give ourselves to the crows, because, again, there's something that God is trying to show us. That's what my spirit tells me, that there's something that God is trying to show us.
Well, that leads to my next topic. And
what is it?
About what he was talking about, what led to during this pandemic, about George Floyd.
Okay. Now, this pandemic was going on before George Floyd got killed, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
We was already having situations with you know, people dying from this virus. And I believe, you know, just to piggyback off what the pastor said, I believe that as well. But I do believe that his actions, be it a CEO or not, his actions and lack thereof, you know, he had been cutting up before the virus. The virus just put the icing on the cake, you know what I'm saying, and rallying up division, which, you know, really emphasizing it, because it was already there. You know, a lot of people say Donald Trump is the reason why we know. It was already there. He just made it, you know, he just made it more opportunistic for people to be more divided. You know what I'm saying? So you can't give him that much credit, right? And he used that. But either way, he's not a politician, which is why a lot of people voted for him, because they're tired of, you know, typical politician. And I still believe that he is not helping the situation. You got kids running around here talking about if the president don't wear a mask. You know, this is childish. As a 70-something year old man, you know, you don't, if you wasn't in your bubble or people being tested around you every day, you're susceptible to, you know, I'm sure you got pre-existing health problems that will cause you to get this virus. It's just very childish, and it doesn't show any type of leadership. So when the kid said that, when I seen the interview, I said, well, I'm not surprised about that either. So go ahead, Darius. With that being said, you know, you got generals, you got this dude making decisions on, again, this is a CEO, this is a person, a businessman. He's making decisions about the country and military and stuff without even listening to the generals and all the people around him. See, it's one thing to be the president. I said to myself, okay, we got the idiot in office, but he has a lot of people around him to guide him into making the right decisions, or at the very least, giving him the right information, you know, especially since he's never been in this position before. And that has totally been wiped out. Everybody's afraid to advise him. If you even bring up the word Russians or Russia, it's a problem.
Oh.
People are afraid to lose their jobs. And because of that, you got to make a decision as a grown man or woman. Okay, do I want to go and have this conversation with the president and let him know what it is? Or and knowing that there's a possibility that I might lose my job and not be able to feed my family? That's the state that this country is in. You got the press secretary who's standing up there looking shook every time she speaks. And you can tell
getting paid to lie.
On her face that she's lying. But she needs to save her job. She needs to work like everybody else needs to work. You understand what I'm saying? So it's really sad. And then the Republicans, I find out that the Republicans, at least five or six of them, have gotten have businesses outside of their regular job, and they have applied. Those businesses have applied for small business loans
and
that
they
money
can get it easily.
They already got millions of dollars, right? And I'm pretty sure Trump has something to do with that, to include his businesses. So that's one of the reasons why some of these Republicans is not trying to push the envelope when it comes to things, because he has something over them. He's allowed them, CNN and all these other media stations have done their research and found out that these businesses that these politicians have, they I don't know how small they are, but they got millions of dollars for their businesses. And Trump knows it.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? So
well,
you got the Republicans, as bad as they are, the ones that's saying something are probably the ones that know that their counterparts got these loans. They know internally the back conversations, they know what's going on. Us, we just
care.
Know what they tell us. You understand what I'm saying? So even that thought process of, oh, well, the president is in there, this dude is about to be the president, nothing you can do about it, at least he got some smart people around him to advise him so he won't press the button and send no nucleus over there because he's mad at somebody.
No.
And that's not happening.
Yeah,
that's not
happening.
Well,
I agree with a lot that's been said tonight so far. Just listening and absorbing everything, and you know, it's real important. Back to the leadership part, it's real important to understand. There's different types of leadership, and to Dante's point, I'm sorry, Pastor Dante's point. He's right. He's a CEO first. But when you look at it, Bill Clinton was a CEO, but he became governor. So he had on-the-job training on how to govern. That's why the best presidents, the best governing presidents are the ones who were governors first, because they learned how to manage large amounts of people and multifaceted parts of the government. Obama was the one that was smart enough to surround his people who could teach him as he was on the job. This guy thinks he's still in Trump Plaza. This guy was a terrible CEO. And this guy, the type of CEO he is brand first, make my own politics, and screw whoever I hurt. That's why everything is the best. Everything is bigger. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. When I'm branding things for clients, I take some stuff from Trump. Because if he don't know nothing else, he know how to make you believe something that's in your face isn't in your face. And that's what a good branding and marketing guy is. Outside of that, he's not worth the dog crap that I stepped over when I came out of the Chinese store earlier. So we have to understand that because he does not know anything, and because the people who were smart and intelligent, he got rid of them, we are in trouble. All up and down the East Coast, we're looking at state by state by state that need more tests. We need to develop contact tracing. You're right, Janet. We can't contact trace when we got a bunch of dumbass people on the beach with no mask. Because the key part of contact tracing is you sit in front of a doctor and you sit in front of the medical team and they say, well, tell me the last 10 people you were in close proximity to, or the last 20 people. Give us their names and phone numbers so we can call them and get them a heads up. How are they going to do that when they're rolling around in a bar? Ohio is a hotbed. Y'all jumped up so fast. Y'all had, 800 y'all almost at 900 now. You jumped up by 40 in a day. Nobody should be going anywhere.
Well, let me tell you something. That's on DeWine. Doc.
Well, we already know he's a piece of garbage. I know that.
I was going to get to Dr. Amy Acton, that she was when it got to here in Ohio, she was on TV here like every day, guiding us through the science of what's going on. Then the protesters that complained so much, they drove her out of there.
Yeah,
and I go one step further. Me and my classmate of mine, we had a discussion about the why in Ohio. I said, you know what? I know we're basically in recession. Our state's not going to recover anytime soon. And everything starting, I told him starting maybe 2021 and beyond, everything you see, you had to pay for, like going to concerts, events, they're going to go up two or three times more starting next year just to recoup the lost money back. I said, I'm on to that game. And I even tried to convince my grandma said, she said, oh, DeWine's good, doing a good job. I said, no, you're not looking at the long term like I am. That man is he's just destroying Ohio. And our schools, that's a whole nother subject. The state, he's getting sued.
But here's the problem, Darius. Here's the problem. Personal responsibility is important. Every pastor of every church has a decision to make. And they have to think about the people, especially the elder members who are easy targets to this disease. And I had this conversation with my mother when she told me that she was going to church. Between my father and myself, we said, well, should we tie you up with duct tape? Or should we just use bull ropes? Because you're not going anywhere near that place. Not with numbers increasing. So some of this stuff comes down to personal decision-making and leadership on the ground level. As Pastor Townsend said, a month from now. See, there's leaders and there's bosses. Trump's a boss. That is why this country is falling apart in every single direction you can point in our government.
Yeah.
We need leaders. Pastor Dante's a leader because he's thinking about today, tomorrow, and down the road. Other pastors, other ministers, and other organizational leaders, whether it's religious-based organizations or community-based organizations, you have to protect your people. And this piece of dirt is not going to do it. Your governor's not going to do it.
Mm-mm.
I get it. Everybody wants to get back to normal, but we have to be safe.
I understand that, but
and
that's
why if you don't take
it's gonna
time,
get worse.
And if you don't take time to allow things to work, okay, if we don't take time and allow this virus to have its course and allow those who are governing to get the medicine like they're supposed to, if we don't allow the scientists and everybody to do their jobs, but you want to run out there and like here we had a militia that came to the state capitol with armed with AR-15 and was demanding our governor to open up our city and our state. And she told him no, she's not going to do it. And she is truly thinking about the people. And she even said just the other day that she's not afraid of shutting the city back down, because if it continues to go up, she's going to shut it back down. And again, there is nothing that can be said about it, because at the end of the day, from point A to point Z, you will see that she's right. Because you, and like Brother Kim said, you have to think about the people. If you don't, there won't be anybody here. You know the president's going to be in the office. He's going to be president over just what, by himself? Because if nobody's here, if everybody dies off because of this virus, I mean, how silly, how sick can you be? You know, and even like as pastors, and I just want to say this one point, and I'll go back silent, that I've seen a lot of pastors be praised one minute and ridiculed the next. But let me assure all of you who listen to this show and those who that go to church and attend churches and support the churches, none of us have pastored through a pandemic before. The last one we had was almost 120 years ago. We don't know what to do while going through this pandemic, but we know who to turn to. Our job is to make sure that you're safe, and in the midst of making sure that you're safe, cut your pastor some slack. Listen to your jump and jump in his face about because he's having the building closed. The building is just a building. The church is the people.
Yep.
Amen. I'm not saying
All right, we've got about 24 minutes left. What else is going on? What else you got? Ms. Janet, what you got?
Oh, well.
Okay. I'm sorry, I had the phone
Darius.
On mute. I was on mute.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Can I start?
Go ahead, Darius.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would like to let me speak about racism with the police, black.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to first off say, since this happened, I started my own Facebook group, and it's called Protesting for Major Change for Now and in the Future.
Mm-hmm.
I know about Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, but let me get to Mr. George Floyd.
Okay.
I will never forget, as long as I live, me and my grandma, we watched the video together of that officer having his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. And when he said, "I can't breathe," and even the bystander said, get your knee off his neck, he can't breathe, he's held down more pressure and had like a grin on his face. But this one got to me. But this one got to me. When he hauled out for his mother, I knew, and I'm a Sunday school teacher, I knew he's going to leave. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
And I told my close friend this a year ago. I told her, I said, if the police continue to kill black people, unarmed black people, you're going to see massive protests like you have never, ever seen before, maybe in your lifetime. And after what happened to George Floyd, everything broke loose. And when I saw everything was going on, it confirmed what I was wrestling about a year ago. In my spirit, I said, something's coming.
Yeah.
Minnesota, Ohio, I think every state across this country like you have never seen before protested every day and night. And I applaud all the peaceful protesters that marched doing the right thing. And there were states I didn't even think that never thought was going to march. I never thought cities in Texas was going to march. Even states like Alabama, parts of Tennessee was marching. And I just like, well, look at this. Everybody across this country and the world was marching.
So I think that, what about this idea, with piggybacking off of what you said, the coronavirus, people are dying. African-American people are dying at alarming rates. You know, I had this conversation. Do you think that we would have reacted the way we did if the coronavirus hadn't came and started killing us as a people, just to this country overall? Do you think that by the time what happened to George Floyd, because we've had in Minnesota, the dude, I hate to even say his name because I didn't sleep for a couple of nights on that. Yeah, that kind of messed me up. We didn't act this way. When that dude got shot, you understand what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I think that, you know, when I think about what the pastor says, in regards to God and how he thinks and what he does, how he does things, I wonder if this virus was the jump off point for us to really reflect, or, you know, I don't know what, come together. I can't really come up with a good terminology as to how we, you know, came together. But do you think that that was the tipping point? That was a opportunity for us to look at, you know, what happened to George. And then even after that happened to him, the kid that got killed in the Wendy's parking lot.
Ray Sharp.
I mean, was it, what was it that, you know, to, and I didn't have an answer for the person I was talking with, what was it that made us finally react the way we're reacting now?
Well, here's what it is.
It's been hundreds. And my point is, it's been hundreds of George Floyd.
Right, but here's what it is. This is exactly what it is. Okay, and this is just me looking from a spiritual standpoint. Okay, there's a scripture that says it's a saying that says what the devil meant for bad, God turned around for good.
Right.
If you put your spiritual eyes on it and you look back from the beginning of this Trump's presidency up in the beginning of it, well, even his time of running for the office, all of the stuff that has transpired was all racial. Okay, it was all race oriented, trying to divide the people. Okay, so now with this pandemic happening, everybody's at home, and nobody can turn a blind eye to it.
Okay.
See, a lot of times in this world, and when we speak about racism, you hear the Caucasian say, "Oh man, it's not that bad. Oh, it didn't happen like that. Oh, just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Minimize.
That's what I always say. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just keep on going. Don't worry about it." So what I'm saying to you is, now everybody, even the young people who would normally be at school, who would normally be out socializing, who would normally be out doing certain things, cannot do these things and are now seeing what we have been discussing, talking about, praying about, yelling, tormenting, all of these things that we have been that have been going on with us from the beginning of our time of being here in America, or even on our way to America. So they're now seeing that, and especially when the young people start to go back and do history on what's going on, it opens up doors. You had a lot of Caucasian young people out there walking, marching, and rioting peacefully with the black brothers and sisters. So I say that to say that what is happening now is the eyes of the world are now open. But don't be naive to the fact that you still have those who believe in their original, like they say, that this was God's ordained, ordained for them, the Caucasians, the Europeans, to rule everything. They're God-given right. Well, from what I can see, God loves everybody, and God does not put, at this stage of the game, when Jesus became Lord of over all, he don't put anybody ahead of anyone. We're all on the same level. The blood put us all on the same level. So there is nobody over the next. And to say that it's God's or God, their God given right, what God are they serving? Because something, I'm missing something. You cannot hate and call on God at the same time. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Totally
I agree.
Great. They're serving something of a darker nature.
Absolutely.
To your question, Janet. This is one of those situations where everyone was forced to sit still, and like you said, there's been hundreds or thousands of black people killed at the hands of police. That's nothing new. But what made this one unique was people were forced to not miss it. And there's always been protests. There's always been rallies. That's been going on forever. But this time, with the brother jogging, getting attacked, with the sister getting killed in her own bed, with so many personal things, these things were personal. I can't go jog without getting killed. I can't lay in my bed without getting killed. This wasn't a pullover, you got pulled over in a cop, whatever. There was police killing. There was two, some white boys killed a brother. It was these things hit us. We were already dealing with it on a normal basis. And
right.
then we got Trump and his stuff. So we're dealing with it. We're used to seeing it. We're used to seeing it. Then boom. And to the pastor's point, when you have white people walking and marching and supporting us, when you have the British supporting us, Germany supporting us, all around
yeah.
the world supporting the movement, what do you see? You go on Amazon.com, it's the first thing that pops up. Oh, we support black, you know. You go to Reddit.com. Oh, we got a black, they turned the logo black. So now they commercialized it. You can go on Wish and get some Black Power t-shirts now. They've been selling them for about a month. Because,
mm-hmm.
see, what happened was they did the same thing they did in the 60s. They figured, hey, we can commercialize this and make Black Lives Matter a household name instead of fighting it because there's money in it. But at the same time, they gave us enough respect because they saw billions of dollars in property damage happen all over the country.
Yeah.
It's one thing to send out the National Guard on a state or two, but they were covering like 15, 16 states. So it was a collection of everything happening in the perfect time. We're never going to get this time again. Never.
And
there's still protests going on. Hold on. There's still protests going on. Hold on. There's still there's protests going on, but have anybody seen any on the news lately?
No.
I'm trying on social media.
Except for the ones that are destroying the statues. Those are the only ones I've seen.
No, think about it. You got to ask yourself, why is that the only ones I've seen? And then the only other one you've seen is the Black Lives Matter doing a protest within the last day or so, and someone ran people over in the car. So they're going to tell you
where?
What's going on.
I think Bloomington, Indiana.
Yes. So
what?
We hear it then, but we don't hear it any other time.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
guess what?
And it's a true. This is. You know, I lost a good friend, a very good friend, over some stuff that was being said. I actually had this gentleman at a time on my show, some stuff that was being said that I just didn't like, and I had to comment on, and I lost a good friend over it. But here's my thing. I have always been one that has stayed on a straight and narrow. I never ventured to sides. I always kind of took people for who they were. I always thought, build your own brand. The only way you're going to make it in this world is off your own merits. Work hard, do what you do. But now my thought process has changed because
mm-hmm.
I have become even more sympathetic to the struggles of my people simply because after, just like the world, I've had more time to watch and see all those who are around me, all those who claim that they love me, and all those who are not of the African descent. I'm watching everything that they're posting now.
Uh-huh,
and so,
uh-huh.
again, you can tell me that you love me, but just like before Trump got in office, your actions and your words don't line up.
Right.
I'm starting to see things a little different now when it comes to how we treat our fellow man during certain times. And I'm willing to let you know that if we don't learn something from this pandemic, if we don't learn something from this struggle, if people are constantly talking about, you know, what's going on. Nobody wants the black people to be empowered. That is still racism. I don't care how you put it. If it's
uh-huh.
okay for you and yours to form militias and to form parties and have racial superiority over others, that is still racism. That means we haven't
right.
learned nothing back from the 1800s all the way through.
Right.
Racism is still here. People are
yeah.
still being lynched.
Yeah.
Things are still happening.
Uh-huh.
And yet we cry out about it, and nothing's never done. But the minute that we began to form and say we're tired of how we're being treated, then we're the terrorists. But the terrorists
right.
have been here the whole entire time.
That's what D.L. Hughley said. D.L. Hughley said, and he was, you know, being in the raw form. He wasn't. It wasn't one of his shows. He was interviewing on
mm-hmm.
on the news. He said, "Excuse me, but white people, where y'all been? We've been telling you, we've been
yeah.
dying, we've been protesting. Where you been? This ain't nothing new. You know what I'm saying?" He broke it all the way down. He said, "I appreciate you finally taking a stand with us, but we've been standing here waiting on." And he looked at his watch on his hand. We've been standing here waiting for generations. So, excuse me if I'm not too excited that you decided to show up to the party all of a sudden. You know, excuse
mm-hmm.
me because I'm not jumping for joy. We don't actually. And when he left it off with this, and I was standing up like, yeah. We don't actually need you. You know, we're not incompetent. We know how to live our lives and be peaceful and treat people with dignity and respect. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the guy said in New Orleans, the kid. We didn't come down here messing with you. We came down here to respond to you messing with these little black girls here in New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? So we don't need you. Please don't get it confused. But we appreciate you walking and taking a stand with us. So see, we've been protesting and tearing up stuff and saying certain things, the things that we're saying right now, we've been saying it, and our ancestors died saying it. So
yeah.
now, for whatever the reason is, you done showed up to the party, and we're supposed to be kumbaya and playing patty cake? Thank you, but no
mm-hmm.
thanks. And that was D.L.
Well,
and I was feeling him on that.
Let me add to that. When this protest was going on, my uncle called here and he said, "Darius, your grandma seen a lot of stuff when she went to school in Tennessee, so she can tell you what went
mm-hmm.
on in her time. She just turned 84. So
right.
she's been watching this. She said, all this is nothing new. I seen this when I was down
mm-hmm.
south."
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
and but here's the thing. My thing is I seen a video of a daughter arguing with her parents about how black people been suffering more, and her parents
right.
said, "Well, look at the stats."
That.
I said, "I saw that on Instagram." I said, "That daughter made a point. Y'all not listening. You're not listening
mm-hmm.
to this." I told them, I said, "Did the young generation that been marching? Those could be our future leaders in this country, next 20,
mm-hmm.
30 years down the line." And I'm gonna leave. There was this one black person.
The KKK and the white supremacists is teaching their kids too.
Yeah.
Because you got them beating up on Chinese people now. Talking about it's just a form. You know the thing that gets me about the United States. And that's probably because I haven't been to any other country but Mexico. But what gets me is it's a form throughout this whole country in regards to racism. Some of the most intelligent people, book-wise, got all kinds of scholarships and are scholars and got education. It's a form of just straight-up ignorance.
I posted what about the NFL is going to be doing the Lift Every Voice and Sing National Anthem week one if we have a football season. And I'm
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to bash the person and comment when I've had that post the other day. I'm a Haber Miss Anonymous. I'm trying to be nice because I didn't want
right.
to go off on her.
Right.
She said, "I didn't know there was a black national anthem." I said, "Wait a minute. You haven't been." I said, "Lift Every Voice and Sing, that's been sung in every denominational church. It's been sang in family reunions. You name it, we have sung that song every year. That song means a lot." Especially
okay, so Darius,
these...
you know this type of—I know what you're talking about, and I didn't respond. To
yeah,
you.
I'm like,
but
what in the world?
You do know that there are some of us
that don't know
that
it.
That are clueless, that choose to be clueless. You understand, because of their surroundings and how they've chose to live their life. This person was also saying that the coronavirus in the beginning was just as bad as the flu.
Oh.
Okay. So I know what you're talking about, but we do have people. We do have black people that are running around here clueless, can't understand why black people are protesting, why black people are doing. Perfect example, that dude that's over there under Trump, that's over the doctor, the surgeon. What's his name?
Dr. Fauci?
No, the surgeon, the black dude that's up there in the office with Trump.
Ben Carson.
Carson. We do have black people like that. So,
well,
I hear what you're saying.
Well, but see, here's the difference. We got a couple minutes. Let's try to switch gears real quick. We got to remember, a lot of our people don't know a lot of things. So we don't want to beat them up for their ignorance. There's the willfully ignorant, and then there's the, hey, I just didn't know that. So we don't know who's who. Ben Carson is the willfully ignorant. He can't tell you how much a loaf of bread is. He can't tell you how much a carton of milk is. He has nothing for you. Okay, he is removed from the common folk. A young lady not knowing the national anthem. Hey, I got news for you. When I saw that post and I heard it, when they said the black national anthem, I had to go, wait a minute, what's that? Oh, yeah, lift every voice and sing. You know why? Because most people don't call it the black national anthem. They call it lift every voice and sing. So that's why I didn't comment on it. I was like, well, I ain't going to lie. I forgot that myself. I had to go, for a minute. So, you know, she just didn't know.
I'll give her the benefit of the doubt.
If she's on there blasting and talking fly, that's another thing. But our jobs, being on a broadcast, is to educate. And the good news is you put something out there that taught her something, she's going to walk away smarter. And that's the important thing. So shout out to you for that.
Well,
I'm going to give her
the benefit of the doubt. I tell her go on YouTube and listen to it.
That's fine. On my network,
I call it State of State, and, you know, we can teach that, too, and I doubt it very seriously. I doubt it very seriously if there's a lesson there. But moving on.
All right.
How many more minutes we got?
We got 2 minutes.
All right. Well, first of all, Pastor D. Townsend, I hope that someday here soon that we'll be able to go back into the brick and mortar. And everybody raise the roof and praise the Lord. So we're down here praying for you, as I know you are praying for us. Our numbers in Texas
always is
ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They got state troopers on the side of Texas coming from New Orleans. You're not coming in here. You're coming from somewhere else. It's just crazy. So pray for us down here. They send the military doctors and troops down here to all these hospitals. San Antonio got a lot of hospitals. So, you know, when I don't know about other cities and states, other cities, but when they say that they at capacity, we got about 45 more hospitals. And that's because we got 3 military bases here. So, at any rate, I want to shout out to Vi. Can you plug Vi's show for tomorrow?
Yes, tune into the Queen Vi Reality Talk Therapy Thursday tomorrow. We're still working on the title, so just tune in over at blogtalkradio.com/Queen Vi Reality Talk. Follow my social media. I'll be posting our conversation, because due to some of the news going on, we had to change our topic. So to be determined.
Okay. Well, y'all continue the conversation over there at Vi's Radio Network, and support her here at Shoebox Talk, HubNet Online Radio. And we support black businesses, so we want you to definitely email us or shoot us an inbox with your business information so we can put that out there as well. And with that being said, I also have a business, Zuri Incorporated. It is a virtual call center, so if you need to work from home in the comfort of your home, get with us, inbox me, and I'll get you the information you need to get you working and get you paid from working at home.
That's ZHURIINC.com. Go check it out, ZuriInc.com.
All right, y'all. Y'all have a good night, and we're gonna start next week, Wednesday, part two of this, because we didn't have enough time to finish our conversation. All right? Y'all have a good night.
All right.
See y'all soon.
Good night.
God bless.